Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
And I am Cliff.
Hello, everyone. We're back.
We are. Due to some
we had to take a few weeks of absence.
Some unfortunate life events meant that kind of had to drop off the radar for a couple of weeks. But I am back.
Yes. We are back from outer space. I don't remember the lyrics, something, something, look upon your face, etc., etc. Yeah. So, welcome back to The Indoorsman. We hope you missed us, because we missed you. It's a little kiss for our listeners. Love them so much. Both of them. So, Cliff, some stuff happened. Not much, but stuff happened.
Yeah, I mean, I've almost been completely off the radar. Doing other stuff, so I haven't really kept up with any news. But the only thing that that I have done is seen Black Panther. That's about it.
Which, as far as singular choices of things to do go, that's a pretty solid one. Yeah, luckily, it was apparently a pretty quiet 2 weeks on reflection, so there's not that much to talk about. So we don't need to ramble for 6 hours or anything like that. Thank Christ. What would you like to start with to begin talking about on this podcast?
Well, I did actually play a game for a few hours one night. Yeah, because you were nice enough to gift me the Offworld Trading Company game. So I played that.
That's right. It was pretty fun. I had forgotten I'd done that.
So this is what the last 2 weeks has been like. It's, memory holes all over the place. Mm. I played it. It's fun. It's pretty cutthroat. It's a lot faster of a game than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be one of those games you play a single game for hours and hours and hours. Nope. The pace is pretty hot. So you finish a game pretty quick in that.
Yeah, I remember when I used to follow the Gamers with Jobs podcast, they went through a period where they're all really obsessed with that game and gave it glowing reviews, which I only half paid attention to because personally I'm not super into that genre. But they generally had good opinions on things, so I was like, yeah, that seems like a good choice.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. It doesn't fuck about that game. So yeah, you have to be on when you're playing it. There's no lazily playing that game. Like if you don't pay attention, you will have your company bought out by a rival and that's it, you're done.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have also played some video games in the past week. I'm still playing Stardew Valley. I finished my first year, so that's exciting. And I have 3 boyfriends, 2 of which are ready to marry me. And I'm just going to work my way through making everyone love me before I finally marry Shane, probably. I like his depression storyline. It's good.
I cared for no one except for my wife.
Who did you pick as your wife?
Well, first of all, it was Penny the librarian, the redheaded librarian. And then it was, I'm going to say, Emily, my second playthrough. Blue-haired girl.
Oh, yeah. I had an interaction with Penny, possibly the first one, which was the Secret Santa thing in the Christmas event. Or is that earlier in December?
Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I actually played it.
Where you get given the name of a person in town and you have to buy them a Secret Santa gift. Yeah.
So off to Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly. So Stardew Wiki, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I got her the perfect gift and she got me like a piece of trash that she found on the ground. I think she got me like a cake that was sold at the store immediately to her right. So fuck off, Penny. I heard I could get iridium bars sometimes. I wanted an iridium bar because I need iridium bars to make iridium sprinklers so that I don't have to do any more farming.
Except you know that at some point during the game, every Friday, you can buy one.
From where? From the caravan?
You can buy them from the caravan. They do pop up there, but not. They're random in there. But you can reliably buy one every Friday or Sunday, one of the two or something like that, once a week, basically, from Mr. Sewer Man.
Oh, I haven't gotten into the sewer yet.
Ah.
There's all these branches of the game that I keep forgetting are even a thing.
A lot of them are locked behind time as well. So you have to progress like a certain 1 or 2 years before the event happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it's spread. You can't just do everything in year one. Like it's impossible to do everything in year one. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, because I know the sewer I haven't gotten into. I haven't really figured out what the wizard does or followed up on it at all.
Not a lot.
I got to the desert, and then because many, many moons ago, I got wiped out in the dungeon and lost my best weapon. I was at a disadvantage and got killed by all the basic enemies. Also, fuck those mummies. Seriously.
I just hit them and run.
They don't die, do they?
You can kill them, but I think you have to blow them up.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, I just hit
them. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, so I've got to get into that, and I'm kind of down to the point where for all the... I will eventually like make all the bachelorettes love me, because they have interesting story scenes, from what I can see. But the rest of the guys left are just so boring. There's, like, the gothy programmer, the weird Fabio dude who lives on the beach and hates everything that everyone else loves. It's like, oh, I just want duck feathers as my favorite gift. Fuck off. Those don't drop often enough.
I relate to that man.
Hmm. Living on the beach, having nothing interesting to say.
Hating everything.
Hmm. Yeah, so Stardew Valley, still diving deep on that. It's going to be nice to go through all the events and stuff a second time, where actually we'll be able to prepare for them in a more effective way.
We can actually partake in them, because half of them you can't even do, because no one likes you enough to actually dance with you.
That's the spring one, the dance festival. Yeah. So I'll get to pick my dance partner, because everyone loves me. I do love breaking down the mechanics of that game into actual real-life experiences. What's his name? Sam, the blonde bachelor, like the skateboard guy.
Mm-hmm.
I had been sort of working on upping my heart meter with him, because it's really easy, because his favorite thing in the world is pizza, which you can just buy in stacks from the pub. And I managed to time it, so I got into his house just as it was sort of open for the morning, and he'd just sort of gone from asleep to awake, but he hadn't left his bed. So essentially what happens is I walked him to his house, past his little brother and mother, walked into his room, climbed into bed with him, and then handed him an entire pizza. And he's like, wow, this is my favorite. Creepy. And then just rolled back over in bed.
Creepy.
So, excuse me. If someone climbed into my bed with a piping hot pizza, I would love that person just like he loved me.
I would take the pizza, tell them to get the fuck out of my bed. Who are they? Who's this random person with pizza? And then eat the pizza.
Hey, he knows who I am. Like, he dropped an egg and I covered for him. We're basically soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He did take the pizza and then roll back over in bed and face away from me. So I guess he just sat there eating it until he got out. Yeah, so Stardew Valley. So good. I have been playing other games.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly games that I've forgotten I already had. I've been trying to burn off games in my PSN library. So I started playing Hob, which is a really pretty sort of platformy, back-and-forthy Metroid kind of game, where you're this little guy who gets a giant robot hand, and you find power-ups and all this kind of stuff. It's all very pretty. It's kind of cel-shaded looking. Unfortunately, it has some massive frame rate issues, despite being not that technically complicated a game, which apparently got fixed on PC, but have not been resolved on PS4. Which is unfortunate, because whenever it does a big sweeping vista, because the whole thing is, it's a mechanized world, kind of. So there's all these chunks of land that are on sort of cogs and machinery, and you sort of raise and lower them as you go along. So you sort of get to these core points where you sort of put your big robot hand on a machine and activates it, and you get to watch all these huge chunks of land rise up and build an entire new area for you to explore. Looks really cool until the frame rate drops to 12 frames a second.
Boo.
Kind of takes away from the effect. Luckily, it doesn't happen that often, so I can kind of power through it. But yeah, not great. The other game I've been spending a lot of time with is one that was kindly sent to us for review. Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology. Which I'm sure you know off the top of your head exactly what that is, Cliff.
Time travel.
Yes.
I remember you spoke about it in a few podcasts ago.
Good use of context clues as well. Yeah, so Historia is a game I tried to play on DS, but it was late in the DS lifetime. Ironically, it's now late in the 3DS timeline, so I don't know that it's going to do as well as it could have.
Yeah, let's remake a game for something that no one plays anymore. Woo!
Yeah. We'll get to that. So, it's basically, yeah, there's a decision point early in the game between your main character, Stock, because he's a stock character, huh? Either sticking with his current job in, like, the spies for the army of the country he lives in, or moving over to the army. And that ends up creating the branching point for the two main storylines, the standard history and the alternate history. And you sort of follow these paths until you hit sort of points that you can't pass because you need equipment or information or something to continue on. And you'll find that by going to the other branch of the story and doing some events there, which unlocks something in the main story, back and forth, kind of hip-hopping between these two timelines, finding all these dead ends. You'll get a lot of decisions, which is like, oh, there's an informant who's meant to be meeting us here, but he's late. Should we, like, go to where he was coming from or wait here for him a bit longer? And if you try and go find him, it's like, oh, yeah, you missed him, and it lost crucial information for the war, and everyone died, and the world ended. Bye. And that is not a good ending. So you kind of get to create all these, like, points where it's like, yeah, you fucked up, and sort of fail your way to success, essentially. They've also added a bunch of really convenient additions. Because, like, my least favorite thing about playing JRPGs is the part where you play them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the worst because there's a lot of grinding and all that kind of annoying stuff. So Radiant Historia has a really fun combat system, but it's very slow and random battles are annoying. It's just, it's not worth it. So they've added a mode, friendly mode, where these enemies kind of roam on screen the same as they did in, like, Chrono Trigger. And you can sort of strike them to get an advantage in battle normally. But in friendly mode, if you strike them, you instantly win what that battle would have been and get all of the benefits of it.
Right. Cheat mode.
Yeah, essentially. So you can... Because also this is a game where you're replaying scenes a lot because you're sort of backtracking, redoing a scene with new information. So you get a lot of repeat. So stacking that on top of the repetitive nature of grinding battles wasn't ideal. So here you can either bump into an enemy, they get stunned, and then you can run into them again to do the battle, same as if you just slashed them in normal mode, or you can slash them and then you just instantly win, which is great because sometimes you just want to move through the story and not have to fight the same chicken that's on fire for the 300th time. There is a chicken that's on fire. I think it's meant to be a cockatrice. I'm not sure. But yeah, so that sort of helps speed up the thing. They've also improved the scene skip for scenes you've already seen. That was a bad sentence. And added alternate history things, which are sort of what-if scenarios you can play through for just a little bit of extra content. And there's like a post-game dungeon and all this kind of stuff. The usual stuff you get in kind of a remaster of a game. But yeah, it's just, it's nicely polished. I've been really enjoying it. Like, I hadn't touched my 3DS in months. And since I started playing this, I might have bought a new 2DS XL because they're pretty and I wanted one.
You fool.
And there's like two more games coming out for this system that I'll play. It's fine. I did it on Afterpay. It's like I didn't even pay for it at all.
You fool.
Eh. Yeah, so I rate it. It's good. I like it. I'm still playing it, which is impressive. I can intend to finish it, which I haven't done for an RPG in a while. I did go back and play some of the DLC for Final Fantasy 15 as well that I had forgotten had dropped. That was cool. Turns out they have an alternate ending that's better than the real ending of the game. So, who knows? Video games.
Just stop doing anything that involves any other Final Fantasy except 7. And then after that, don't care what you do.
Oh, no. They've just announced that there's going to be 4 more DLC episodes for Final Fantasy 15. They're going to carry through to the end of 2018, maybe start of 2019.
Dumbest shit ever.
Hey, if I still get it under the DLC pass that I originally paid for, fantastic, because I think it was only like $30 or something.
Still stupid.
Yeah. Yes, that's stuff I've been playing. Oh, last one, actually. There was a mobile game that came out last week, maybe the week before, called Florence, which is a game that was on demo at PAX when we were there last year. You might have seen the big sunshine yellow signs of a girl sitting on a couch.
No, that's a long time ago now.
Yeah. The reason it sort of caught my eye is it's by a new team headed by the developer of Monument Valley, which was a very good puzzle game on iOS and I think Android as well, by Ken Wong. Yeah, so what it actually is, it's kind of a visual novel, but also a WarioWare game, where you're playing on these little mini games to progress through the story.
On the side note, basically, Nintendo, hurry up and make WarioWare for Switch.
Oh, Jesus. Wario Switch, fuck yes. WarioWare. Yeah, so you play through the story, and it's kind of about this girl, Florence. She's stuck in a dead-end job, and she meets a guy, and they fall in love, and it sort of tells the story of how that all progresses and ends, all with like a really nice, simple art style, and really good music. I don't know who did the composing for this game, but it's solid. Yeah, it only takes a few hours to finish, but it's very good, and I know this because I played a chapter or two of it initially, and then while lying in bed one night, I was like, oh, I'll play another chapter or two just to see how it goes. And then it was finished, and it was 4:30 in the morning.
Nice.
So good job, Florence.
How much was that, anyway?
I think it was like $4.
Oh, that's all right for just a couple of hours.
Yeah, but it's a local Melbourne-based team. The game is actually set in Melbourne, which I noticed because when they go on their first date, it's at the Queen Vic Markets. And then one of the mini games is you're sort of pinning these Polaroid photos onto a map of Melbourne, and it shows the different dates they went on in different places. And I realized I'm starting to get a handle on Melbourne, because when they went to an alt-rock concert, I said, oh, yeah, that's Brunswick. I know that. That's a very funny joke for anyone from Melbourne. You're welcome. So, yeah, that's what I've been playing. Have you been playing anything besides that thing I sent you?
No, just sneaking in some more PUBG. That's it.
That's fair. Well, let's move on to things we've been watching. What have you been watching, Cliff?
Not a great amount of stuff. I watched that, what's the name of it? Like The Night We Met or something, The Night We First Met, the Netflix movie.
Oh, the one with the guy from Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, yeah, and crazy blue eyes, like crazy, like insanely light blue.
He's got some eyes. Intense eyes, that boy.
No, not him, the girl in it. He's got like crazy, you see her, she's been in Alexandra Daddario? I don't know if I pronounce that right.
Okay.
But she's got, she's got insane, hold on. Okay. I'll show you a picture and you'll be like, holy shit, the eyes.
Will I?
Yes, you will. But that's her, it's got her in it. It's him, it's kind of cool. It's like a Groundhog Day type deal where he, it shows the night they first met, then it goes like 3 years into the future and it shows like what his life is like then. And then he gets all super sad because he's effectively, in what's called the friend zone or whatever. She's marrying someone else. He's in love with her. And then it's him trying to kind of like break out of the friend zone. Even though it's like one of these like movies, like, bullshit, friend zone is bullshit. There's actually like a story that evolves in it. And there's an actual message. That's not just like him winning the girl. It's like an actual, like it goes on in a bit of a better fashion than that. But he goes, works out he can go back in time. And he goes back to the night they first met to try and, he can manipulate that one night. But then when he goes to sleep that one night, he wakes up 3 years in the future again. And he has to figure out what's happened in the past 3 years and how he got to where he is and why he's the way he is. And of course, he never gets it quite perfect because that's what time travel is. You can never get it perfect. So there's always like trade-offs between like, ooh, is this good enough or can I make this better? The answer is no, you cannot. Because you can't fuck with time. It's not bad. It's got some amusing stuff in it. It's got some junk stuff in it as well. But it's alright.
Yeah, it's on my list to watch. I want to get around to it. Also, actually, added to my list of things to watch eventually when I run out of things on Netflix. They just added the live-action Full Metal Alchemist movie.
Mm-hmm.
which is a thing that happened. Apparently it's okay, which is about all you can ask for a live action anime adaptation. I also saw, because I watched a trailer for that on YouTube, it advised me that there was also an initial trailer for a Bleach live action movie.
Interesting.
Which I guess is also a thing they're making. I used to watch Bleach when I was a weeaboo.
I used to watch a bunch of Fullmetal Alchemist as well. But then I got like 50 episodes in and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to watch the other 4,000 episodes there are.
I got a decent chunk into Fullmetal Alchemist. I think I was watching dubs just because I was lazy. And then it got harder to find the dubs, so I stopped. And that's the story.
It's just like every other kind of anime. Anime is really bad for it. There's just so much bullshit filler.
Yeah. It's horrible. Although, I mean, from everything I've read, the Full Metal storyline takes a bit of a sharp turn towards the end. With some alternate dimension stuff. But maybe... Yeah.
Tons of it to watch. Because they literally mass reduce that stuff.
Oh yeah, these are series that they pump out weekly. I just can't imagine that kind of production schedule.
That's why I like stuff like Cowboy Bebop. It's one run, done.
Yeah, never watched it.
So there's also I still got to watch Cloverfield Paradox. Apparently, it's okay.
I've never watched a Cloverfield film.
And also, Mute is now on there too. So I really want to watch Mute. I
haven't watched that. And Altered Carbon that everyone says is passable.
Oh, I've already watched that. I loved it. It was awesome. Mute is the sequel to Moon. Well, half sequel. It's a sequel? Half sequel.
An actual sequel?
It's like set in the same universe, like after Moon.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's cool. I like the idea of that.
Well, yeah, I've fallen pretty far behind on all of my TV shows on top of trying anything new because a new show has kind of taken over my watching time. It's RuPaul's Drag Race.
Reality TV sucks.
It's actually surprisingly entertaining. I hate reality TV in general, but this is entertaining. It's just a bunch of gay dudes in dresses yelling at each other nonstop. Like, they literally have challenges in the show which are insult each other as viciously as you can. There's a lot of new terminology to learn with this series, though. I had to learn so many new words because they say things and I just don't know what they're talking about. Also, the structure of the show, because they've had 9 seasons of the main show and then they're on the 3rd season of All Stars where they bring back fan favorites to compete against each other. So, like, Celebrity Big Brother, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I started watching season 8 and All Stars 3 concurrently because I wanted to get some of the backstory for the personalities because that's where half the fun comes from, I guess.
Let's stop right now before you aggravise me because I know that's not a word, but it's a word in my circle of friends. But just know, you said the word backstory in a bullshit reality TV show. No.
I mean in terms of all of the references they're making to what happened in their seasons and that kind of stuff. They have backstory because there was a story that was told in the back.
How about next week we'll find out if you're watching all of like this bullshit Married at First Sight as well.
No, that will never happen because that show is garbage. RuPaul's at least entertaining. But on the topic of the format being a mystery, when I initially sat down to watch it, I sat down with someone who has already watched the series, which was very helpful because if I had questions, I could turn around and say, what the fuck is going on? Which I had to do because when they did the ranking after the challenge of the day or whatever, they say, blah, 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 you're all safe. You're the winner. You guys are the bottom two. One of you is going to go home. And then they just started dancing and singing to a song. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Turns out, based on pure logic, in RuPaul's Drag Race, when you're losing, you have to save yourself by lip-syncing very good, which I guess is a pretty strong drag queen talent that needs to be required. But because they are, you know, on the 14th season they've produced of this show, it just started happening and I didn't know what the fuck was happening. It's like, you've been the shittest. dung da dung da dung da dung. It was great. I didn't have a clue. It was amazing. So that's been my week and a half. I've watched a lot of that show because it's all on Stan. Thanks, Stan.
I maintain that reality TV sucks.
I'd tell you to watch it and you'd enjoy it, but I think specifically being part of the target demographic does help me in that particular regard.
I basically just will refuse to watch any reality contest show flat out. Just no. As entertaining as I might find it, just nut. I refuse.
Does it help at all if I tell you that one of the drag queens dressed up as Julie Andrews and rapped?
It does not.
Okay, well, had to try.
I'm not a rap fan.
But it's Julie Andrews rapping. It's barely rap.
Yeah, I'm down with Julie Andrews. I'm not so down with rapping on a contest show.
You're not a big rapist.
Apparently not.
Okay. Well, that's what I've been doing anyway. Mm. So I have gained like 20 gay points. Good for me. There's not much else that's been going on except for Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a movie. That mm-hmm. was good.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
I enjoyed a lot of what happened in that film. Unfortunately, we can't dive too deep because we will spoil the movie for everyone.
Let's so, just say, if this is, do we have anything else to talk about? How about if we finish on it, we can just go to, we can get to a point and just go like, this is a spoiler point onwards.
Yes, let's do that, because yep. I cannot be bothered recording a separate spoiler cast.
Exactly. So, all right. What have we got before we get into Black Panther too much?
Very, very little. Final Fantasy XV, on top of having its DLC announced, has its PC release coming up, and one of the bonuses for buying it through Steam will be that you can play the game as Gordon Freeman.
I did see that. I saw a picture of it.
It's ridiculous.
Yes,
it is. And also there'll be a Gordon Freeman costume that Noctis, the main character, can dress up in, complete with crowbar weapon. What a weird crossover.
I mean, and we've had some pretty weird crossovers in the last year or so, as it is.
We've had some pretty weird crossovers in Final Fantasy XV. They crossed over with Assassin's Creed, which is weird enough because it's not a Ubisoft game.
That's what I was thinking about, yeah.
And then Final Fantasy XV crossed over into the new Assassin's Creed game as well. There was also in Japan an ad for Noodle Cup, which is a brand of cup noodles, where it had all of the heroes and characters decked out with like noodle helmets and clothes made out of noodle packaging and all this kind of stuff. It was just a big gag tying the game to this noodle brand. But they added DLC where you could wear the noodle helmet, and it actually has decent stat bonuses, so you might be tempted to put it on.
Cool.
But don't. And yeah, now we've got Gordon Freeman in there. So, Half-Life 3 confirmed. No. Valve's never going to make Half-Life 3.
Yeah, that would imply that, yeah, that game was actually ever going to come out. And nah.
No, this is just twisting the knife, really.
According to a bunch of conspiracy theorists, Valve are afraid of Half-Life 3.
Oh, yeah. Like, at this point, the anticipation for it, the expectation for it is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, it has to happen eventually, but it will never meet the expectation after this long of a gap, which is their own fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What did they do last year? They patched Dota. That wasn't even them.
The thing is, they didn't even have to, like, get stuck in this straight away, because they fully had Episode 3 to drop.
Yeah.
And just didn't do it. But anyway, I've bitched about this in the past a bunch anyway. Cool. So apart from more annoying non-Final Fantasy VII news.
Yes. There's a Sonic the Hedgehog movie being produced, which will never be as good as the original.
I mean, I feel like this is one of those things that there's a list of about 20 game IPs that have just been in a constant state of, there's a movie coming. Since the 90s.
Well, this one has been dated for next year, so they at least have a timeline-ish on it. So that's the thing. I think it's going to be partially live-action, partially animated, was the initial information, which is very worrying.
If he kisses a young girl...
Yeah, so it's expected to hit theatres on the November the 15th, 2019.
A day that everyone will forget.
Yes. And day that will go down in no history. Oh, and actually, alongside that, there's also a Mario movie being made by Illumination, the guys who make the Minions movies.
Gotcha, so it's probably going to be terrible.
We already know they know how to do overalls, so half the work's done. So that's, yeah, that's all my movies for the next 10 years sorted. In other news, I only have one other thing. Marvel is rebooting their comics line for the 3,000th time.
Unless you're killing off everyone and starting again, don't care.
Nope. This one is called Fresh Start. And it's like the fourth or fifth reboot in the past 3 years. Because we've had Marvel Now, Marvel All New, All New, All Different Marvel, and something else.
If they just, like, bought in over a series of 5 years, changed the lineups up over a period, would have been fine. But instead, they changed it all up at once. The classic comic fans hated it because it was a massive abrupt change out of nowhere. And they had to try and bring it back. And everyone's like, well, now they're just backtracking it. It's bullshit. And just you could have just done it over a period of time. Phased characters in and out, told like the final stories, brought in the new character to replace them. But no, they just had to do it all in one hit because they're stupid.
Yeah. Looking at the promo art that they've got for it, from previous reboots, the sort of splash image of heroes tends to give a pretty good idea of which characters they're going to focus on, although they do tend to elaborate and differentiate from that over time. Having a quick skim through it, looks like the biggest things of note... firstly, good news. Miles Morales, Spider-Man, and Ms. Marvel are still there, which is good because they're like cool, diverse characters that actually tell interesting new stories. Miles
Morales is... like way up there in the Spidey world.
Yeah. I cannot wait. There's actually an animated movie coming out about him as Spider-Man, which from the looks of it has like a really cool rotoscoped effect to it. It's not just Marvel TV animation. Might have been a special thing for the announcement trailer, but it looked wicked. Like no outlines, kind of jaggy animation because it's that rotoscoping effect. But it looked really cool. So they're around. That's good. Deadpool's there because this is Marvel. Of course he is.
With the success of... Deadpool was always in and around the place. But then with the success of the Deadpool movie, like, he can't not be in everything now.
Exactly. Likewise, Black Panther's there. Good. He's practically right up the front. The original Hulk is there. The original Wolverine is there. Jessica Jones and Daredevil are still around. Ant-Man and Wasp are still around.
Basically, it seems Thor... like anyone that's got had successful movies or is kicking off their own series of movies coming up, I imagine they're all there.
Yeah. Original Thor is in the poster again. He hasn't been Thor for a long time. He's wielding a golden hammer. That's interesting. Jean Grey's back. Like, actual Jean Grey. For the first time in, like, 20 years...
Yeah, but it's like the 20th time.
Yeah, but they've actually done something different straight off the bat. She got resurrected by the Phoenix and then told the Phoenix to fuck off.
I was going to say, basically you broke up with it. Off, you started that comment off woefully. They did something different. The Phoenix brought her back.
Yeah. No, they like the setup for it was pretty bad. It was like a 5-part miniseries that ran over 5 weeks. I don't know why they did it so quickly, but it was good because I kept forgetting what was happening. Phoenix sets up a dome in the middle of nowhere, creates a town that's genes in it and surrounded by carbon copies of all the people she knows as just like, you know, people working in the diner or Logan, the car mechanic, all this kind of thing. Until the X-Men crack in and like, hey, this is bullshit. This is some bullshit. And then the Phoenix is like, nah, I brought her back because I want to live inside her again. And Jean Grey says, this doesn't work out great for us anytime. And there's this big series of panels where the Phoenix is angry and yelling. And she's like, you're obsessed with me, but we both know it never works. So maybe piss off. and then the phoenix goes away. It's all very symbolic, fire and rain, and she puts the phoenix out and sends it away, and then gets her own series the next week, where she's actually trying to do something good and not being crazy, which is cool for Jean Grey. So she's there, and her costume's super ugly, gotta say. It's very 90s. She-Hulk's back to being She-Hulk and is super skinny in the way she's drawn again, which is fucking disappointing. And Tony Stark Iron Man is back. He's been dead for a while. So that's something.
Permadeath, people.
Also, Ghost Rider's around, which is weird. He kind of comes and goes.
There's no emotional impact when a comic book character dies anymore.
Yeah. Marvel especially.
Yeah, because we know they're going to come back. Just give it time.
The revolving door. Yeah.
It's stupid. I hate it.
It's like, I was really enjoying some of the replacements or like legacy replacement characters. You know, She-Hulk as Hulk or Amadeus Cho as Hulk. Ironheart instead of Iron Man. Female Thor. Just a fucking kick-ass story. And yeah, like there's just a lot of cool stuff going on. And then they're like, no, we're going to bring everyone back. I mean, it has been like 4 years, but still. Comics.
Yeah.
Comic books. But that's everything I've got.
Weird, like Elseworlds, like one shots, way better. Limited runs. The stories are better.
What?
But anyway, any other news?
That is the news.
Cool. Well.
So, should we do the sign off then to talk Black Panther?
We can still talk Black Panther. Like, people have heard our sign off. If they want to hear it at the end.
It's super funny. Yeah, if you want to hear our sign off, skip to like the last 3 or 4 minutes of the show. Because now we're going to talk about Black Panther for a bit, and it's going to be spoily.
It totally is.
So don't listen to it. Ready? We're going to count down, and then it's going to be spoiler time. I think on 3, 2, 1, we should both yell a spoiler immediately, and that can be the breaking point if people don't pay attention. Have you got a spoiler?
Yes.
Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. It's going to be spoiler time now, everyone.
Wait, 3, 2, 1, then spoiler?
3, 2, 1, spoiler, because I can't say 1 and the spoiler at the same time.
Spoiler on 0.
Okay, spoiler on 0. Mm-hmm. Here it comes, everyone. It's Black Panther time. 3, 2, 1.
Ulysses Claw dies.
Killmonger was right.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he kind of was.
No, but he kind of wasn't.
Wakanda stayed out of politics across the world when they could have been helping. And what do they do at the end of the movie? They start helping.
Let's not forget that a certain manic, like, crazy person tried to take over the whole world back in the 40s. So let's not... Just because you want to, like, unite the world doesn't make it a good uniting the world. His version of uniting the world was terrible. He was not right.
His plan was not great. The instigation that Wakanda should get involved and help where they can was correct. Doing that by handing people guns, not correct. Doing that by setting up schools that are led by Shuri because she's the best character, that is correct.
So he had the right idea, but he wasn't right.
No one in that movie is right. He was also the more attractive king, which makes him right.
No one in that movie is right. 100%
right. Except for Shuri.
No, one's 100% right in that movie.
Shuri's perfect. I love her.
She is not. But because no character is perfect.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I liked it.
It was very entertaining. Of course, I'm going to have gripes with it because that's what I do when it comes to movies. It was predictable as fuck. Like, I picked exactly what was going to happen, what beats were going to get hit, and I knew exactly how it was going to go down. I mean, admittedly, this is a Marvel movie, so this is not a unique situation in the Marvel Universe. You can pick pretty much all the movies these days and pick the beats. This just seemed it was like doubly easy to pick from other movies. So I knew exactly that Killmonger would toss him off the waterfall. He would die.
Oh, that's a direct thing from the comics. Yeah. So yeah.
I knew as soon as like Killmonger rocked up, like, I know exactly how this is going to go. Just straight away.
I knew how I wanted it to go, which was he took his shirt off, and I was very happy to be right.
Boy, Michael B. Jordan was ripped.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, even through like his like superficial nipples, that guy got lean. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's like the very positive curse of the Human Torch role. Like, Chris Evans and Michael B have both gone through it, and they were pretty good looking to start with, but they've come out the other side stronger, longer, and just oblonger. I'm running out of words.
There's just like zero body fat on those two.
They upped their body game. Yeah.
Same with Chris Evans. Not Chris Evans. Chris Hemsworth. Just zero body fat on those.
That's
those
very good. And it's nice that Marvel committed to their usual shirtless hero thing and shirtless villain, which is an inclusion that I could go with going forwards.
Well, I mean, that makes sense in the context of the setting. Like, it was old school tribal combat. So loincloths and shield and spear and shit.
Exactly.
So that all makes sense.
Moving on from that topic, but kind of circling around it, because that scene was maybe the best demonstration of it. The costume design was amazing in this movie. If they don't win an Oscar fucking for it, hair.
If they don't win a costume design Oscar, then the shit is rigged. Because those costumes, especially the bodyguards, their outfits were awesome. Oh, the
Dora Milaje?
Yeah, Michonne looked amazing.
Yeah. And the best part was, one of the few featurettes I watched, I think I might have mentioned this on our last episode, was about the costume design and the fact that all of the kind of the looks of the different tribes and the Dora and like Ramonda, Black Panther's mum and all that, were all drawn from actual African tribes. And the language they speak is an actual African language. I can't say the name because it has a click in it and I can't do that.
I liked when you hear them speaking it and they do have the clicks, it was like seamlessly clicking. It was a very modern version of like an old African language, it seemed.
I had a lecturer in uni who did one of my art history courses who was South African, and she could do the click and the pop and all that kind of stuff, because some of the advertising demonstrations she brought in were like, you know, ads for refrigerators from the 40s from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And she was reading these ads in the language.
And of course, if you grow up around those languages, you can pick it up. But as an adult, like, you got no hope. You're just going to sound like an idiot.
Yeah. It was very impressive. And I thought it was cool that they used an actual language because, what's his name? Noah Trevor, the guy who does The Late Show or whatever. He sort of had a little riff where he's talking about the movie in one of the off segments and was saying, it was really cool because the language they were using was, insert name of language here, I'm not going to embarrass myself. And that's what I speak. I speak language. So they had this coming on and I could understand all of it. And they had subtitles. It's like, no, it's okay. I don't need subtitles. I'm good. But the fucking costume design, amazing.
Mm.
The hair, so good. Like, everyone's hair looked amazing. The Queen Mother with her big hat, which was 3D printed. and her, like, massive long white hair. I really liked, especially how, like, the bottom of it was grey, not white, to kind of show that she'd been growing it for that long. The Dora with their, like, shaved and tattooed heads. Amazing. Shuri's hair looked really cool. But Killmonger's hair was the best. Like, the side-swept dread bowl cut. Because it was still very African, but clearly from Oakland, not Central Africa.
Plus, you're extremely biased because you're in love with
Michael Jordan. I'm so biased. It looked really good. Even when I realized it was a bowl cut, I was like, no, I'm still into it.
I've heard people say that Killmonger is like their favorite villain ever, and he's amazing. I didn't see it personally. I felt like he was too much of a, like, you're just a little kid trying to play grown-ups in like a raw rage kind of way. I felt like they needed a scene between the death of his father and where he was to bridge it. I felt like it was just, it was too raw. It was just too, he was evil for the sake of, we needed an evil character.
Yeah.
Even though you're like, okay, I get that, like, you know, he's obviously seen oppression growing up in America this whole time, but it just seemed like, I don't understand why he's like a crazy, like, militant, like evil militant person. It was a bit too much.
They didn't explain enough about his military background to kind of cover that strategist side of him. And he did chew the scenery a little bit. I also wasn't a huge fan of the fact that the final battle was just Black Panther versus Gold Panther.
You know, speaking of that, I'm glad you brought this up, because holy shit, I thought like I was watching Blade 2 again. Because that CG in that final fight was awful.
A little bit rough, yeah.
Oh, it was there was like rubber people everywhere, and it was bad. It took me out of the movie, like, holy shit, Blade 2. And as soon as I was talking to people at work about it, the first thing that comes up was the rubber bandy people in some of the fight scenes.
And I get just they want to make him sort of cat-like and dynamic, but yeah, you've got to watch it with that kind of stuff.
It didn't really play cat-like. It played very rubber person.
Yeah, the one thing that I was a little bit bummed out about with the Black Panther costume, because I knew obviously they're redesigning it because it's a new movie, I was really hoping they'd go more in the lines of the comic version from recent volumes, where firstly they switched to an all-black team, like Ta-Nehisi Coates writing and someone doing colouring and artwork, but it's a way more animalistic mask to his face. And obviously they drew inspiration from this because... like, the latticework design of everything was very reminiscent of what they introduced for Wakandan design, and the purple especially, being like the color that comes up on his costume when he gets hit and stuff, that's very much from that. So I was really hoping they'd go for, like, the animalistic mask, but they just didn't. I get that it'd be harder to do, but come on.
I got two other movies I can put it in.
Yes.
They also, like, the whole, like, suit being hit and then rebounding energy... I felt like that was almost too big for his first movie as well. Like, I felt like it wasn't, I know they wanted to make Wakanda seem like super crazy, like technological stuff, but it just seemed like they went, like, there's nowhere to go from here now.
It seemed like they were
all very big. It was, that was a bit odd as well.
One thing that they did do in the comics that they hadn't really done in the movie was lean into him having more vibranium-powered stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had vibranium claws, so they'd glow purple, and... like vibranium daggers, all this kind of cool stuff. So it gave a lot more color variety to the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess they wanted to be more reserved because they don't want to throw too much at the wall before they can see what sticks.
If they gave him a bit more weapons and actual like things to use, it would have seemed, I think, a better starting point than I've got magical, like purple repulsor powers.
Go juice.
Yeah. It just seemed like they went real big and it's like, shit, where are they going to go from here then?
It did make for a couple of cool shots, though.
Oh, yeah, but not...
Obviously, the car one that was in all the trailers.
No, and that's not a cool shot. Let's stop saying that's a cool shot. All right?
Because it was a cool shot before you'd seen it 300 times.
That's exactly right. If we keep saying it's a cool shot, they'll keep fucking using it.
It doesn't stop being a cool shot just because you've overseen it.
I just go, oh, yeah, it's a shot.
Yeah.
Waiting for it to
finish. But that and the shot when they were all fighting in the field and he just kind of... blows everyone away. That was pretty cool. Also, rhinos. That was nice. I liked that.
I liked the gorilla men.
I
really liked them.
The Jabari.
Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah. Also, really good work on M'Baku, the man ape, not making him a super racist caricature like he was in the comics, where he was literally a man who ate a silver gorilla's heart to gain its power and then dressed up in its skin. Because then... you have a black man who's being depicted as an animal. It's not good.
Yeah, but
he's
they did
gorilla.
Have the...
He's not quite human.
But they did have the... you got the rhino guys. So they had the affinity with the rhinos. I got the impression that they all had their affinity with different... like.
It's a bit like that, yeah.
Big creatures and stuff like that, I reckon.
Because they draw from the different animal gods.
Yeah. It'd be different if it was like, look, guy in America, you're a gorilla. Whereas if it's like, here's the guys that literally live like 20 minutes from the Congo where there are gorillas... Yeah. That they, like, worship. That's a bit different.
But they still found a tasteful way to do it, which I really enjoyed.
I did laugh when he was like, what's the right word to describe the sound, but at Martin Freeman?
Like,
when he
barking
goes to talk,
him down?
Yeah, barking at him, yeah. That's probably the best way to do it. Yeah, that was funny.
Oh, that was amazing. Like, the two greatest moments... three greatest moments in the movie. First was the one you didn't even recognize, which was the fact that they made a Vine reference... when T'Challa visits Shuri and she points at his ceremonial sandals and goes, "What are those?" Which was a very funny contemporary joke that Cliff didn't get.
It's not contemporary because Vine has been dead for ages now.
Vine is alive so long as I keep watching compilations of it on YouTube.
Mm.
So that joke was great. Yes, M'Baku barking down Everett Ross, aka Martin Freeman, for being a white man trying to talk. Amazing. And also, again with Everett Ross, when he comes to in Shuri's lab and like surprises her by asking what's going on, and she says, "Oh, don't scare me like that, colonizer." He's like, "My name's not Colin, it's Everett." He's like, "I know what your name is." It's like, yeah, you just made a colonizing joke. Excellent. Very good. And yeah, just the reception of everyone seeing this movie, like all the black people seeing themselves in a movie and hearing about like cues to take photos with the cardboard standees at cinemas and like singing and dancing at the cinemas. Amazing. That it sucks that that's such a revolutionary thing, but I'm glad it's happening.
Let's talk bad guys for a second here.
Right. Yes.
So I also was kind of weirded out by what they did with the bad guys here, because they killed two bad guys central to Wakanda in one movie.
Yeah.
They killed Ulysses Claw, who was fucking great.
He kind of lost his shit since his last appearance.
I
don't remember him being that crazy.
That's what he was so great, though. Because he could have been... I thought that if they're going to have Killmonger, and of course, if you're going to have Killmonger, like, then they have to face off, and then one of them has to die. And of course, it's not going to be our boy T'Challa. So Killmonger will die. I thought they would at least keep Claw there, because he's been the ongoing thorn in the Wakandan side.
Yeah, and he is kind of the traditional.
Yeah, and he would end up being like big bad third movie kind of thing, like throwback to stuff. Nope, just killed him off. Michael B. Jordan, shoot him in the face or the chest or whatever.
It'll be interesting to see where they go next. I honestly don't know enough about the sort of pantheon of Black Panther to know who else there is in reserve, other than what I've read in recent comics, which was like, I can't remember if it's Nakia or another female character with a K in her name, but there's one who sort of incites an uprising in Wakanda, because at that point, Black Panther's spending all his time being in the Illuminati and fixing American superhero problems and not really hanging out back at home, which made for an interesting story and branching out. And that's one thing they cut out of the movie, was the lesbian romance, which bummed me out.
They also cut out the romance between Michonne and Kid from Skins too. It was implied, but as you mentioned,
from Skins.
Yeah, you know, guy that turns against T'Challa and goes for Killmonger. He was in Skins. He was Posh Kenneth.
No, I don't remember him at all.
They also cut out, like, she calls him lover at one point, so that you kind of get the impression that they are together, but apparently there's a whole other scene where they're, like, fully together and talking about, because they're one side of the argument each, and then that was apparently cut out too, because they wanted to keep it in, but it broke the flow of the movie, because at that point in the movie, they wanted to go, like, you want to keep riding the roller coaster. You don't want to be kind of, like, going the slow trip up. It was on the down at that point. And so they've removed it for that.
Well, yeah, like in a previous cut of the movie, Michonne's character, Okoye, wasn't with Farmer Cloak Boy, but she did have a strongly flirtatious scene with Io, who was the bodyguard from the Captain America film where Black Panther originally appeared. Because in the comics, Io and another Dora Milaje named Anika get together. Because one thing they very happily glossed over is that the Dora Milaje are his bodyguards, but also his selection of destined wives. So he gets to pick one to marry. Kind of good that they got rid of that bit. But in the comics, they were basically like, we don't want to marry T'Challa. Also, we're not too happy about how the country's going. Let's defect, steal this cool armor, and then kiss.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. He's the warrior king, so he has to choose the greatest warrior woman.
The strongest warrior,
his queen.
So there was the scene where they're going to the trial and they're all on the boats and like the Dora dancing, and there was meant to be a shot where Okoye looks over at Io and is like, you look good, you look good dancing or something, and Io says back, you look good too, and she's like, I know. He was like, yeah, that's Okoye. Also throwing shade on non-Wakandans for using guns. So primitive. And then using a fucking spear to crash a car.
A magic spear.
Magic spear.
That has, and like, being, that can kind of shoot out of it anyway. So it's it's apparently a civilized gun.
Yeah, it's pretty much completely different. I did like having an uncomfortable time wearing a wig as well. It's like, what am I meant to do with this shitty hair? I know, throw it at a bad guy. Cool. I bet it was vibranium hair, so it's magic somehow.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah, in terms of, we got a bit sidetracked from the bad guy a bit there, but I can't help but feel they kind of, you could have used Killmonger, could have used the first movie to create Killmonger and sow the seeds of Killmonger and then have him as the final showdown, like King versus King. But yeah, we'll see where they go.
There's always ways to resurrect a bad guy. Always.
Please don't resurrect a bad guy. MCU, just when you kill a character, leave them dead. Also, on a technicality, Red Skull's not dead, bring him back.
Yeah, that's one that's just been waiting in the wings for a while.
Make him the bad guy, the antagonist of Avengers 4. Let's do it.
Yeah, because we're only a few months away from the next film, aren't we?
May.
Which is, I'm pretty sure, as of the success of this film, now called Black Panther and the Avengers.
Pretty sure it's just called Avengers Infinity War, but you know.
But who's the best one, though? It's probably Black Panther.
It's Thor. 100%.
I mean, yeah, Thor does do pretty well. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the scene where they compare what they've all been up to since their last hang. It's like, oh yeah, we all fought each other in an airport. It was like a bunch of kids fighting in a car park. It's like, oh, I saved my entire kingdom and fought the goddess of death and lost an eye and also some other shit.
Also saved all of Earth too, because if Hela took over, she was just going to take over Earth as well.
Yeah, she was going to fuck shit up.
I mean, that is literally, it was her kingdom, is the Nine Realms or whatever it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did like, actually, to divert to a completely separate spoiler, they said, why are we just in charge of the Nine Realms? It should be all the realms, which I thought was an interesting nod to what Thor's actual sister is in the comics, which is from the 10th realm that no one knew about, which is Heaven, where the angels live.
District 13.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's always another one.
There's always one. Yeah, but overall, Black Panther, I liked it.
Yeah,
it wasn't perfect, but it was very, very good.
It was very solid.
Mm.
Very solid and film.
I like that they've said that they're considering bringing Ryan Coogler back to direct the sequel. It's like, you've fucking better.
I mean, that's just like saying we're considering bringing back Patty Jenkins to do Wonder Woman, or and we might get the Russos back to do another awesome ensemble.
It's still on the table to have Taika Waititi direct every Thor movie for the rest of time.
Yeah.
A lot of good things happening in superhero movies lately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of digging it.
Real quick, what did you think of the after credit scenes?
So what do we have? First one was...
The UN.
It was the UN. Yep. Yeah, I like that. The little smirky finish was very cute. I saw an
article about it saying that there's more of these end sequences than meets the eye. And it's like, well, the second one we'll get to in a bit, because there is. But the first one, it's like, there's not really that much more to that than what it is. Like, he's going, cool, world, we gotcha. And everyone in the world's just going like, come on, like, shitty African nation. Like, what have you possibly got? And then the little smirk. It's literally that.
You're going to give us some red dirt? It's like, nah, check out this. Boop, turned into a panther man.
Go ahead and shoot me. Bullets will bounce right off.
Yeah. And then I can explode the UN, which will leave a really lasting impression.
I got a magic suit from a magic metal. That powers my magic country that you don't know was there because magic.
Yeah. Also, I eat a plant that's not an Infinity Stone.
And not existing anymore, apparently. Although I'm sure that there'll be like some mystical cave somewhere where there's still some at the very bottom of the vibranium.
A seed that survived or something.
There'll be something.
Because plants survive getting burnt back. That's how the Australian bush works.
That's literally how all of the Australian bush works, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the UN scene, I quite liked it. It was a little bit cheeky. Definitely means that there's changes coming, because if Wakanda's out there trading, then we have the opportunity for high technology in the movies going forwards.
Until Thanos just spanks Wakanda and brings it back to everyone, to the rest of the world's level. Yeah.
Mm. Now onto the second credit scene.
Yes. Good to see some Bucky, son.
Yes. And this one did actually have a bit more to it than totally suggested, because they call him the White Wolf, which is not his title. That is T'Challa's secret white brother who got adopted by his dad, who tried to challenge him for the kingdom.
Turned out to be a bit of a dick too, apparently.
Yeah. Was not great. But May point to Bucky becoming part of the elite soldier unit of T'Challa's. So you've got the Dora Milaje, who are his warriors, and then the White Foxes, who are like a paramilitary organization, have costumes kind of looking like his, but in white, and with weird goggles, who tend to be his kind of strike force.
Yeah, his strike force. They're his muscle. Yeah.
Strike force slash spies.
Yeah.
So
they do all the so-called wet work.
Yeah, Bucky would make a pretty good spy. He's kind of done that before.
Good at the killing.
Maybe give him like a hologram he can put over his robot arm, and then he's good to go.
I mean, if he's got a crazy white suit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But good things, because it looks like Bucky, I think you're supposed to take away that he's good now.
Yeah, he's fixed.
He's done some sweet like meditating in a hut, in some very lovely African vistas. Next door
there
lake.
Was
and,
there was a prelude comic to Avengers Infinity War, which kind of bridged the gap to say where everyone was up to, and they did have a scene between the last time we saw Bucky in this explaining how they fixed his brain.
Magic.
So it's weird that they didn't include that. Basically, Shuri made a holographic copy of his brain so she could mess around with it to figure out what works without breaking his actual skull.
Yeah. And basically just like poked and prodded. And reset
until
it was like, cool, now we've got non-psychopathic Bucky.
Yeah, she basically did folding at home with his head. Yeah, so Bucky's back. I mean, we knew that from the trailers for Avengers anyway, but at least now we know he's not going to hear like Red Bubble 17 quack and go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty sure that we just assumed that that's what was going to happen after Civil War anyway. Yeah, it's good. I like it. It was it's good to see some Bucky, because he's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they're setting up so he won't become Cap when Cap dies, because you got to kill Cap in the next Avengers movies, right?
Yeah.
He's got to lift Mew Mew number 2 and then hit someone with it but die in the process. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, that all reads pretty well.
Because you can't have him like budging Mew Mew 1 and then not ever like elaborate on that.
Yeah, you can't have a Chekhov's hammer like that and not follow up on it.
Yeah, it was too sweet a little teaser there to not not do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Black Panther. It's pretty good. I liked it. Mm-hmm. It was a movie.
Trying to think, was there anything else in there that was I'm just bummed that Ulysses Klaue died, because he was great. I mean, he was shot in the face.
I mean, yeah, so was Carl, and he continued to be annoying in Walking Dead. It's superheroes, they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah,
he'll just get a vibranium face.
I'm trying to think, was there anything else in there?
I got nothing else.
It was kind of weird that they didn't mention that when Killmonger's all, he murdered my dad, and then it was never really came back. It was like, by the way, your dad totally put a gun on my dad, so fuck you. It was self-defense, motherfucker. You don't pull a gun on the Black Panther.
It's also, he's the king, so he can do that if he needs to.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, Eric.
Why don't you go have a cry, little boy?
Yeah.
Whinge about it and try and take over the world.
Well, like, Crymonger. I'm done now. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in for your quote-unquote weekly dose of the endorsement. We'll hopefully be back on a more regular schedule now, bringing all these premium goofs that definitely didn't just kind of vaguely trail off as we ran out of things to say. Yeah, quality japes.
If you like our opening and closing music, it is now, as it has always been, Fox Side Chain Compression on Game Boy by Rocky W. Bandcamp is a place you can go to get it, but there's all kinds of other places if you just search him and all that.
That is correct. You can also find us online, indoorsmanpodcast.com, which briefly did not work, but now does.
Such and is also, the way the internet works.
Yeah. It's good right until it's not.
Never 100% uptime guaranteed.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/indoorsmanpod or indoorsmanpod on Twitter and Instagram, which are places that you can interact with us if you want. Do that.
If you want to contact us directly on Twitter, for example, I mean, I won't respond because I don't use Twitter, but you can tweet at me at Cliff and Monkey. Or if you want to tweet at someone who's far more active, then you can tweet at Ponk. If you want to email us, I'm far more likely to respond to that. You can get to us via contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
Indeed. You can also like, subscribe, review, rate, iTunes, podcasts. Tell us you like us, please. Please. Please.
We need this.
So bad. But for now, I've been Matt.
And I've been Cliff.
And by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying... What?
Cliffmonger.
You could. Shawnee Cliffmonger. And I'm the Matt Panther. That sounds like, like Matt Black.
I was going to say, it just reminds me of... I saw a great image. This is what it reminds me of. It's a picture of Sex Panther. And it's... what's his face from Anchorman? With his face over the Black Panther's head. Yeah, Sex Panther.
No, you know who Sex Panther is? It's Eric Killmonger in the gold suit.
60% of the time, he beats Black Panther every time.
And that's what we're going to finish off by saying. So, bye.